Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Vanna Pfeiffer.
And I'm Arlene Cohen.
And you're listening to the midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists. All three of us. What fun.
Yes. And we're artistic this week, huh?
Yeah, I thought we'd go with the artistic, you know, kind of a, in respect for the Nashville market, we'll go artistic. though I have to say, the way my day started out, I'd stab a ground cloth in a heartbeat. So, show is sponsored by Stitchy Box. Now, for those who are regular listeners to our Friday night live shows, you know that Stitchy Box is our sponsor each Friday night. And this week, for this Wednesday show, which we're going to talk about the Nashville market and what we're going to do and what's going on there and so on and so forth this coming weekend, Stitchy Box is kind enough to sponsor this show, and so we appreciate that. They have, Liz at Stitchy Box has put together a couple, well, actually three things that are Nashville market oriented. And if you're not a listener to the Friday night show, if you go to fibertalk.stitchybox.com, so fibertalk.stitchybox.com, that's where the specials are for FiberTalk listeners. And even if you don't listen to the Friday night show, each weekend that we have a Friday night show, you can go to that address and there is a special there. She puts a special together for every Friday night show that runs through midnight Monday Pacific time. So you can take advantage of that even if you don't want to listen to the Friday night show, and I don't know why you wouldn't, and I'd be offended if you didn't. But regardless, Liz always has some nice specials, and fibertalk.stitchybox.com will reveal them to you. So for Nashville, Liz at Stitchy Box, she has these what she calls treats from market, and she has four sizes of treats available at $25, $50, $100, and $225 in there, obviously escalating amounts of things. So like the $25 little treat, she calls it, plus shipping, $25 plus shipping, gives you six market goodies, threads and embellishments. The tasty treat at $50 gives you eight market goodies, threads, embellishments, plus a tool or notion or two. So she puts these together from what she sees at the market and puts these packages together. So you can get those. And if you use the code FiberTalkMarket, all one word, FiberTalkMarket, you get 10% off of each of those, any of those packages. So that's a good deal. So she puts them together based on what she curates at Nashville, and there's four levels, and then FiberTalkMarket gets you 10% off. And that's why I say, even if you don't listen to the Friday night live shows, she always is offering either a percentage off or a special package at fibertalk.stitchybox.com. Then she also has her fiber, her second special is Fiber on a Whim Fabric Club, and then she has a ThreadWorks AVS Thread Club, and 15% off for the first 3 months of the subscription. And March's shipment will feature new colorways released at market. So lots of fun stuff there at Stitchy Box. And the easiest thing to do is just to go to fibertalk.stitchybox.com. All the details are there, all the links, and you can explore that. And then, of course, the rest of what she has to offer beyond the specials, you definitely want to check out. She has a nice collection of reproduction samplers, so you want to check those out. So thanks to Liz and Stitchy Box for sponsoring the show, and check that out. Before we start talking about Nashville market, somebody wrote, I think it's been a week and a half now, somebody wrote about wrapping hoops, and she wanted to know how if we glue the twill tape to the hoop to start. And it passed through on my phone. I just saw it on a glance of my phone. I couldn't address it at the time, and you know, and I'll get to that later. I've searched everywhere. I can't find it. I just can't find it. So whoever it is, whenever you did it, I'm sorry. I just can't find your post. But when you're wrapping the hoops, I just use a clothespin to hold that twill tape to start. And then wrap it around and then sew it with just regular sewing thread at the end. And mine looks like a hack job from kindergarten, and Vanna's looks like you know, a 50-year-old, 50-year professional seamstress put it together. So
that's right.
It is. I mean, I was embarrassed to see mine when I saw yours. But now,
having not seen either of these, can I just comment how that seems to be the complete opposite of Team Gary and Team Pigpen when you guys are discussing your various ways of setting up your fabric and so on?
That's right.
Yes.
I agree.
It's what we call lack of skill, Arlene.
Okay.
Lack of skill. Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted it sewed down so it wouldn't come loose. Vonna wanted it to look like it could be in a competition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine. I really should tear mine apart. It's embarrassing, but it's holding, so who cares? And another thing on when you're wrapping that twill tape, don't overlap it. Do it, the tape side by each. Don't overlap it and create ridges, because if you create ridges, then the only friction, the only holding part is the raised ridges all the way around, where if you lay the tape side by each all the way around, then you have an even surface all the way that holds your ground cloth better. So, but yeah, just do, and I, you know, this is my technique, what I use with the clothespin. That's not original. It's, you know, it's Mary Corbett. She has the... Mm-hmm. She has the instructions there. I mean, I just do what Mary Corbett says. It's usually smart.
Yeah, so, I agree with that.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can go to Needle and Thread, Mary Corbett's site, and just look that up, wrapping hoops. She's probably got 3 or 4 posts over the year about doing that. But, yeah. And you're right, Arlene. You would think mine would be neat as a pin, but no. I don't have the skill.
I was just thinking, listening to you guys' show from, was it last week? Whenever you were talking about setting up your Agnes Dei fabric and the difference between the way you all set up. So I was setting up some fabric to start a major new project this week. And I was thinking how I'm kind of halfway between Team Gary and Team Pigpen when it comes to setting up new fabric. I will iron it. I will, you know, get rid of all the creases, like that part that Gary, you were referring to, but I won't wash it and do that side of it. I was cutting it to fit in specifically fit in the scroll rods that I needed it to fit in. But I admit I didn't sew up the edge that I cut off. I just am like, you know what? It's going to be perfectly fine the way it's sitting right now. It is not going to get, it's not going to get too frayed. I just know that, you know, so it's sort of like halfway between leaving things fine and not leaving things fine. So yeah, that's where I stand on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I got to have that. See, that drives me nuts. I got to have that all sealed up and squared up, and it's probably not any of it worth all the effort, but I just feel better about it. So,
yeah. Well, when I was cutting the fabric, I admit I did not follow one fabric thread. I didn't. I really didn't. And I was thinking, I was consciously aware if Gary was sitting with me right now, he'd be cringing and he'd be yelling at me or something. But I'll be honest, I never have done that, because it's just, when I'm cutting canvas, I'll cut, you know, along a canvas thread or canvas, yeah, thread. But with a piece of linen, I just cut, you know, yes. And a few threads will fray off and that will be fine. It's not like the whole thing's going to fall apart on me. And I just know that it's going to be okay. So.
Yeah. I never asked you, Vonna, do you square up your linen or you just cut it and get it close?
I just cut it and get it close.
Yes. How come I knew that?
Thank you, Vonna.
And my Agnes Dei still has wrinkles in it, and I don't care.
Yeah, I think we knew that. That was one of those lawyer questions where you ask it and you already know the answer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But see, I, you know, and for me, I think that comes from my needlepoint days, because, you know, that canvas really should be squared up, cut even so it fits on the stretcher bars, and then, you know, edged with tape, so you don't snag threads on it. Because I used to not edge my canvas. And all you have to do is snag threads on that, the edge of a canvas once or twice, and it'll cure you in a hurry. So, all right.
Well, guess what, Gary? When I do some canvas work.
Here we go.
Unless I've happened to which doesn't happen that often. If I've happened to buy a piece of canvas, you know, cut to size and somebody has taped it for me, fine. But I've never taped a piece of canvas on my own in my life. And I have managed okay with it. I'm just saying, you know, that's not to say I've never snagged a thread on the edge, but never to the point that it's been so much of an issue that I've said, let me get out some tape and do something about this. That's just me. That's just me.
Now see that's interesting. Cause I mean, I used to not tape it. And then I was working on a Debbie Rowley piece and using flare.
Mm-hmm.
And I snagged a piece of flare when I was almost done with the stitch on the edge.
Mm-hmm.
Had to tear it all out. I was not happy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, mm-hmm. all right, for the price of a little artist tape, I had to redo that. And, you know, flare is such a pain in the butt anyway. And, yeah, that cured me. Now I just tape them all. Yeah. All right. Yeah, see, that's just it. Everybody has a different thing. Yep.
Sure.
Everything has a different thing. Yep. All right. Well, we learned something there. Arlene's split in the middle. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So we have, now we're going to do 4 shows at Nashville. 4 live shows. So 7 o'clock Friday night. These are all Eastern times. So 7 o'clock Friday night. 11 and 4 on Saturday, and 11 in the morning on Sunday. Those are 4 live shows. And then I suspect that we'll do some other shows that won't be live along the way, podcasts or something. And we'll drag Arlene into all this at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And but the idea is to just provide as much coverage as we can over the effectively 2 days of the show, 2.5 days of the show, so that listeners get a real sense of what goes on and what has been happening at the Nashville market. So, 4 shows, 11 and 7 o'clock Friday night, 11 and 4 Saturday, and 11 Sunday. And those are all sponsored, and our show sponsors are Fire Poppies, The Attic, Traditional Stitches, and The Village Sampler. So we appreciate that. Because they're making it possible. So Fire Poppies, The Attic, Traditional Stitches, and The Village Sampler are all sponsoring those shows in one form or another. And then the best thing, I've said it many times, the best thing to stay on top of it is to subscribe to Instagram, our Instagram channel, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and or go to WeTalkFiber.com and go to the bottom of any podcast page, and there's a little form to get on the mailing list. And that will, you'll get notification somehow or other. If you subscribe to the YouTube channel, then you get notification when we're live, when we go live, so you don't have to remember. But, that's just the base of it. And then we'll go around doing some videos. We have several people who have put their charts on the FiberTalk site, Avlia, Cross Stitch Antiques, Glenn in Place, Just Stitching Along, Luminous Fiber Arts, Queenstown Sampler, Ronnie Rowe, Rosewood Manor, and the Blue Flower. And we will likely do videos for each of those so you can see their rooms and see what they have to offer and hear from them. So that we'll be doing. Holy smokes. And the live shows, we're just going around and I've been putting the word out to designers, we're just going to run and collect charts. So the live shows will be, a bulk of them will just be us showing you what people are offering at the show. I mean, many people have seen the online posts, but we're just going to bring them together. And people who don't introduce till the show or don't introduce till just before the show, then you'll get a chance to see those. But we're just going to give you as much stuff as we can all the way through the weekend so that by the time you're done, you know, semi feel like you've been there or not. I don't know. I don't know. It'll be fun. Work, but fun. So that's the plan. So 4 shows and then whatever else we can scare up and put together during the weekend. And then now for you, Arlene and Vonna, now this is your first show. And Arlene, you're on a mission. You're trying to figure out what you want to do for next year as an exhibitor then.
So as I've shared, I'm going as a visitor. I am there to do a lot of observation, do a lot of how did designers get themselves there with all their stuff, with all their charts, and how have designers set up their rooms, how people who live at a distance, and the challenges of shipping, and just to learn all that firsthand stuff. I certainly know there are plenty of designers that are first-timers and may not have done what I am doing, which is to go as a visitor beforehand, but I have learned that there are some who have done exactly what I'm doing, and it's just, I don't know, I'm a planner, and I just feel like this is just going to make it really helpful for me to, like, learn all this. I'm also really excited to interact with shop owners and, you know, hear more about I'm very familiar with my own LNS, but just to hear more about different interests and so on from around the country and get that kind of networking opportunity. And then sort of on a totally different level, I've thought about attending Nashville is a little bit like, or I imagine it will be a little bit like going to a needlework exhibition, where there's just going to be so many beautiful things on display. And I mean, because I'm not going, you know, as a shop owner with a mission, you know, I must go purchase, I must go visit all these places, blah, 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 blah. And because I'm not going as a designer who is, you know, more or less stuck in a room for these days, as, you know, as much as I know, understand that they do try to squeeze out and visit here and there. But I know I'm going with the opportunity to go visit and see just all this beauty on display. And I'm frankly just looking forward to that. I know plenty of designers have put out there on various social media places, on their websites, certainly on Instagram and Facebook, their new designs and so on. But if you look at the list, there's also others that are listed as exhibitors that I haven't seen anything from. So who knows what other things are going to be there that, you know, we haven't gotten any previews from, as well as things that aren't. I'm also curious to know what designers bring. Obviously, they bring their new things. What else do they bring? How much of their previously released designs do they bring? You know, learning all that kind of stuff is really part of my mission to, you know, potentially prepare myself to be an exhibitor for next year. You know, we'll see. You know, my kind of learning is doing a lot of observing and a lot of, you know, making lots of mental notes and physical notes. You can bet I have a little notebook all ready to go. And we'll see what I can take away from all this. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you and I had talked a couple of times about, you know, I just thought you should just dive in, but you know, it's just not your nature. But you know, I thought about that since we last discussed that. And I thought, you know, the first year I went, this is my third year. The first year I went was really just that kind of a trip. It was just, what is the lay of the land? How do people handle things? What goes on? And there's such an array of stuff to see that just to absorb it all is a bit of a challenge anyway. Mm-hmm. And so, especially if you're going to invest in exhibiting next year. Yeah, I can see why the planner in you says, no, I better go and just kind of make some notes and have something to think about for the coming months before you go and dive in. Yeah. And you make a good point about people who bring stuff that they've introduced in previous years or introduced throughout the past year. Because, you know, the first one that came to my mind is Karen Kluba, Rosewood Manor. Holy smokes. I mean, she brings a ton. Her catalog is huge anyway, but she just brings a ton of stuff. And you could spend a couple of hours just in her room, just going over all of the designs that she's done that she brings. And, and there are several people like that, and that there's some real value in that. You know, yeah, they're not the new thing that they just introduced today, but, I'm sure in Karen's situation, for one, even if you follow her really closely, stuff that you've forgotten she had that is, you know, in effect new to you just by walking in there. But yeah, she is one that is a classic example of, I just love going into her room because it's just everywhere. I mean, she just stacks them and packs them everywhere. And yeah, you could spend a couple hours, I'm sure. Yeah. Yep. Mm. Well, that's you have a good agenda then to
Well, and you know, just trying to get around to as many rooms as I can and just see how people have set up their rooms. I mean, you have mentioned multiple times how they are set up as some of them are set up pretty incredibly stores. I mean, I've seen posts on Instagram of designers who've like had practice setting up at home and all that. And I admit, it overwhelms me to think about how to do this. And that's why going and just observing before I would actually have to do it just is my style. Let's put it that way. It's my style. Again, there's other people that are like, nah, I'm just jumping right in. But it's more, I don't know. We'll just see what my feelings are once I actually get there. But this is how I'm thinking about it right now. This is an exciting opportunity for me to interact with other designers, to meet store owners, to do all of that and just do a lot of learning is what I'm going for. Yeah.
Yeah. This is probably the one and only place where you can pick brains on both sides of the operation, designer and shop owners from all across the country. And we all know that business in different areas of the country is very different. And, you know, as a designer trying to reach all of that, you need to understand what they're experiencing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing to me, the different approaches that people take to their rooms, because some will, I mean, they just set up these beautiful shops with tables and decorations and things that enhance the designs and do that kind of thing. And then some people, I've got wall space, table space, floor space, and I'm using it all because I've got a million things to show, and I'm going to use every available bit of space that there is. And, Karen Kluba is one of those. She just has so much stuff that she uses every available inch that she has to show her designs. And Ronnie Rowe is another one. He has so many of them. And he has, as I recall, folding board things, and he just fills the room with them. And then you'll get some people who are sharing with each other, and then some people who are getting started and have a fairly small collection, but then do an awful lot with that to make it, you know, to make it look nice. So it's, I think it's fun to watch what people do and how creative, and of course all that, and you have to be able to leave Sunday and have it go back to a hotel room without a bunch of holes in the wall.
Now, this may be a more fair question to ask once we're there, but so even in the 2 years that you've been there so far, were you able to, you know, make a note of any designer from the first year, and maybe it was their first year, and how they grew in terms of their display and their setup and their whatever from 1 year to the next?
And the reason for that is the first year I was doing effectively what you did. And then last year I was there and I was just going as fast as I could to get as many videos done as possible. So I didn't stop to think about those things. Yeah. Yeah. But now you got my wheels turning. Now I'll have to watch. I have to remember what people did last year and see if I can. Okay. Thanks, Arlene. But yeah, no, see, because the second year for me was a very different year in the way I approached the show. So, because I knew what was going on, what was going to go on. And then and doing those videos to get designers and get a couple minutes to do a video is, usually requires several stops at their place to catch a quiet spot, and which is part of why we're not going to do as many of those this year, because it's a lot of work for, you know, the return is not as much as we can do it other ways. So, So Vanna, what, this, your first time, what, you must have something in your head that you want, that you want to chase down or that you're curious about.
Honestly, I do not.
That's
I
just
really
great.
don't. I mean, I am just going to go in with, I guess, a blank page and fill it up. I don't know. I really don't have. I just, my plan is just to go and work hard for you. That's it. That's really what my plan is.
Okay. Well,
I don't, one thing I would like to know, I did wonder this. Is there, you know, you only, or maybe it's just because that was what I was primarily interested in all my life before, but is there a lot of, is there counted canvas or painted canvases there?
Very little.
At the show?
Very
That's what
little.
I thought.
Yeah, there'll usually be two or three rooms full of painted canvas. Debbie Woodard is always there, and that's a treat to go through hers. There's somebody who uses every available inch of space to show all her painted canvases. So there'll be two or three painted canvas and a couple of charted. And yeah, not nearly as much. It's almost all cross stitch of one form or another. And which is too bad. I mean, the needlepoint people have their own shows. I mean, Debbie Woodard's show in Dallas is one of the biggest ones. And they have shows, and I've not been to those, but I would guess there's very little, if any, cross stitch at those. So, you know, the reverse. But yeah, there'll be some, but just not. And the charted canvas people really don't have a show. There's a history there of them fading in and out of shows that have come and gone, and they just don't really have a show. The painted people, Debbie Woodard's is one, and I think there's one in Florida that is of size, and then there's some more regional things. But yeah, no, you don't get much needlepoint. It's all almost
all cross-stitch.
Yeah, cross-stitch, and you know, and of course, a good portion of that is reproduction samplers, as you can imagine. And then all the people that we just know and what they do, whether it's smalls or, you know, original samplers or whatever. But yeah, not a lot of needlepoint. There's several. What did Megan say? There were several, four or five thread people there.
Yeah, she did. And yeah. Same amount of fabric people.
Yeah. Yeah, get to the fabric people early. That's a tip, because they tend to sell out early and then they're done. Like they'll keep swatches so you can see what they were. But yeah, if you want to see the real cloth, get there early because they tend to go fairly fast. And who was it? One last year, I got there Saturday morning and they were already gone.
Wasn't it Picture This Plus?
Yeah, Picture This Plus. Yeah, all the new stuff was just gone Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And they had, of course, they had their whole line or as much of their line as they could bring. So they were of the older colors were there. But yeah, the new stuff just gone. Yeah. Just so you got to act quick on those. And I like the thread people. They're fun. Definitely want to stop at Treenway Silks and see them. She's a nice lady. I forget her name, but she has a beautiful line of stuff. And Rainbow Gallery, I believe, is there. There's what was that? I think because they're in a suite, so she had the main suite, and then she had a display in the bedroom in the back.
Oh.
Because, you know, Rainbow Gallery is such a ridiculously large array of threads. And, yeah, so that was one of those where I first really appreciated what Rainbow Gallery has to offer was seeing that, because she just had everything. It was amazing. And yeah, you think you've seen all the threads. No, you haven't. So yeah, well, that, all
I
right.
I think one of the reasons why I'm a blank slate, though, and I mean this sincerely, is that you, the last 2 years, you've brought so many insights, or, you know, and outsiders never had that look in like what you've brought to us on YouTube and your videos and stuff like that, that I feel like I've already been there. I hate to say that, but that's kind of how I feel about it. And so I feel like I kind of know what's going to go on and how it's going to be. And I just know that we're there to do a job, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to put my work boots on and go to work. So,
okay. All right. Well, I'll be curious to see your work boots.
Okay. I'm going to pack them.
Well, I made a little list. I want to see, I'm curious about samplers, but I'm really curious to see what originals. You know, reproduction are one thing. That's its own little world. But I think there's several people who are doing some really interesting things with original samplers. And so I'm going to seek those out because I want to see what people have to offer. Because there just seems to be, I don't know, maybe just a little emergence, a little increase in people doing original samplers. I might be just completely nuts, but so I just want to see if that is the case and see what people are doing. It just seemed to be some of those popping up here and there. So. That's on top of my list. Cause you know, reproduction samplers have their own little world and the history and all those things. But, what people are doing with original samplers, I think is equally impressive and fun. And, so that, yeah, I have that. And then, last year I really felt like there were several new designers. I'm sure there were. I sure had that impression. And then Megan told us that there are some more new ones this year. So I'm always curious to see what the new designers have to offer. And
and we've got two of them on our page.
Right. Right. Yeah. And you know, that's the other thing that we've done now so many interviews with designers that it's fun to meet face-to-face. And talk to them and, you know, whatever. But that's always fun, too. And then several shop owners, and we've got several sponsors in the past year. So to meet them face-to-face and then see other shop owners will be, that's fun, too. Yeah. And then I love the accessories. I'll tell you, I love seeing the accessories. There's always at least one or two people there who have ort bowls and needle holders, wood designs, and needle minders and those kinds of things. And I think that stuff's fun to look at. I really enjoy that. And there's not a lot of them, but it's fun. And I don't know if your friend from Rolla Frame is going to be there. I didn't look to see, Lana.
Oh, I don't know. I would like to meet him if you know, because I've had a 3 or 4 year relationship with him over email, and that would be nice to meet Dan. Certainly would.
Yeah. Is his company Rolla Frame, or does he have a?
It's Rolla Frame.
Because I'm looking at the list right now, and Rolla Frame is not listed on here.
It would be H Huntsville something at Huntsville. It would be HSV or H. Oh gosh, it's something that with letters and then Huntsville, Alabama.
Nothing under the H's. There's ICG Crafts, but that's not. Nope, that's not anything. There's nothing under the H's.
I don't recall that he was there last year.
Oh, he wasn't.
I don't think he was. Because he was there the first year, because I remember just being amazed at the completeness of his line and all the devices he's created. It's just an amazing thing.
He's so busy in making, you know, he's just so busy in making them that maybe he, you know, maybe
doesn't he's need got to drum it big up enough.
Up. Yeah, maybe he's got yeah,
maybe it's like he doesn't need to go to the show. He's already got the business that he needs.
And, you know, and that's, you know, a small person, I guess I have a business, I guess you would call it that. If, you know, when you have that, when you're one person and you have that much work and there's that much demand for your product or your service or whatever you're doing, and when you say, you know, sorry, I can't meet this, or sorry, I can't do that, I think sometimes people think that you're being arrogant. Well, you have so much business, you don't need my business. And that's not the case at all. It's just that he's one person, you know, he's one person, and he can only make so many roller frame rods and end bars every day. And he is a small business and he has a family and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe he does have, you know, and good for him. And I think he does have that big of a business now, because I know, you know, as a roller frame user, when I ask for X, Y, and Z, a lot of times I know that there's a wait. And I'm proud and happy for Dan that he has that good of a business, and he has a very solid product, and I'm glad for him. So maybe he's just not going to take that, because think about how much time it takes to prepare and to, you know, wrangle all that stuff into a trailer or whatever and haul it and then set it all up and then tear it all down and then haul it all back. You know, that would be a lot of wasted time for him. And so I can understand if he's not there, I can understand why.
Yeah. And you see some of the designers showing their cars, or they've rented vans to haul all their stuff. Holy smokes.
See, and these are all the things that, like, get me scared and get me concerned. I mean, this is why, like, I'm going to be very interested to talk to people one-on-one and, like, tell me what it's really like, kind of thing, because it does seem like an awful lot of work to pull this off, to make this happen. And clearly, some of these designers have been doing it for years, and they have it down to a science on how to make it happen. But others are, you know, again, there's some people doing it for the first time, or maybe only the second or third time. And it's, you know, it's, you know, how do you do it?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that if you follow any given designer through the course of a year, or even just the past 6 months, and just shadowed them, that it would be pretty amazing all the things that go into. I mean, the checklist has got to be huge. And just the logistics of getting your stuff printed and shipped, and transportation and hotel rooms, because you got to have not only the room you rent for your store, but many of them have a separate room. Some will keep the back end and sleep in that room at night, and many just get another room because it's just easier and they need to get out of there. And then people having, can someone come with me to help, and come with me to give me a break during the day, or give me a chance to go look and see what other people have. And so many people, Shanghai, either the spouse or a friend or someone to come along with them and spend the weekend. So that becomes another thing. And yeah, that list has just got to be huge to be able to pull off. Well, it's like any trade show. I mean, it's just a huge list of little things. And the minute you don't get all of them, the one you forgot is the one you're going to regret. So, yeah, it's a good thing you're a planner, Arlene, and that, you know, you're going ahead and, you know, you're working this all out ahead of time. Excellent.
I think, though, that the decorating of the room, you know, I think that's got a lot to do with it, too. All right. It seems that way for many of the designers, that the ambiance of the room is like a huge deal. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but of the designers that I really admire and follow closely, it seems that their rooms are always like decked out to the nines. And if you're thinking, you know, at least to me, I don't understand about the design work and the printing and all of that stuff. That gives me anxiety thinking about that. But I would think that you'd have to start, you know, as soon as this show's over, you're going to have to start putting your ideas down on paper and get to work designing for the next year. And I'm certain that many people do that anyways. Yeah. But as far as the decorations of the room and stuff, I have done several graduation parties, first communions, confirmations, Eagle Scout stuff. I never held an office in PTO, but for a period of 10 years, I did teacher luncheons for fall, winter, and spring. And I was the only one that did it. I made all the food, coordinated all of that. I decorated the space every time. And I did that, all of that myself. So I can understand what, to me, I could go in and decorate a room and it would be like a piece of cake, because, you know what I mean? Because I've done it so much for a variety of other things in my life. But the whole work to lead up, I can imagine it would be 365 days of planning and preparation and getting stuff done by a certain time. I couldn't imagine that. And then to put it all together, one person, that's a lot, you know, in my mind, that's a lot. So.
So it sounds like what I need to do is hire you, Vanna, to come and to do the decorative stuff. I'll take care of the designing things. And then, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, it seems like in a lot of ways, this is an industry where everyone brings their own talents to, mm-hmm. to the table. And everyone has different talents, and you just got to go with your strengths. I mean, that's what it all boils down to.
Mm-hmm. And so. If you think about the people, you know, and when I'm talking about the rooms that I feel is decked to the nines and have an ambience. Of course, I've not ever been there, but you know, the Blackbird ladies, you know, every time I've ever seen any kind of snapshots or Gary's video or whatever, it's like, you know, I just want to go in there and live, you know, when I see that. Mm-hmm. And, Brenda Gervais of With Thy Needle and Thread, hers is always deck to the nines. And Teresa Vanette of Shakespeare's Peddler, the last couple of years when she's gone back to hers has been absolutely gorgeous. And so it's just like those kind of people. I guess if you, when I said I have a blank slate of going in, of I don't have any expectations, I really truly don't have any expectations. I'm just going to let Gary tell me what to do. But I am interested in seeing like those long-held people that I have held high in esteem in my heart and mind for years and years and years and years, I am kind of anxious to see their rooms, I guess. I guess that's, you know, I'm anxious to see. I'm a decorator, though. I like to, you know, themes, mm-hmm. and I like that. So I'll be anxious to see what the theme is this year because mm-hmm. I feel like every year there's a theme. Am I wrong in that, Gary, or is there a theme?
Not that I've noticed, but I'm not the person to ask for that stuff. I don't tend to pay attention. So, but yeah, the Blackbird ladies, that is one room. If you asked me to point to one room that sticks out and sticks in my mind and sticks out, it is their room. Each of the two times I've been there,
mm-hmm.
they really go all out to make it very nice. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the number one room in my mind. They're the number one act to follow in my mind.
Yeah.
That might be completely wrong, but just as an outsider looking in, I don't know that anything that Blackbird does is ever on a small basis, you know, a small magnitude. I feel that everything they do is big and huge and wonderful and perfect. I mean, that's honestly how I feel about them. Because they're both quilt designers and cross stitch people. So I can observe them from both sides. Since I do both of those things, I can observe them from both sides, and there's nothing that they put out or do that I feel is like, I question that. You know what I mean? There's nothing that they've done ever. So.
Well, and what I find interesting with the way the rooms are designed, and now the more we talk about this, the more we're going to have to actually show as many of these as we can, is just that when whichever one of you said that people playing to their strengths, because for some people, you know, I'm here to display what my designs are.
Right.
And I just, you know, here they are. And here's a model, and here's the charts, and I'm here to do business. And that's what they do. Mm-hmm. And then others, you know, have a flair for fixing up a room. And so then they mm-hmm. do it. And mm-hmm. And I wonder how many of them, because like in the trade show world, you'll build a booth for a trade show and you use it multiple times. And so I wonder how many of them have used effectively the same design for 3, 4, 5 years and then will change it out. And try something else so that it looks impressive, but after that first year to year, it's really not as much work as it appears, but then it looks really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the patterns are. I know that's the way I'd go about it. I'd figure something out, invest the money, and then use it 3 or 4 times, and then
I know what they all looked like in previous years, so I'll be able to tell you because okay. I know what Brenda Gervais looked like last year. I know what hers looked like the year before, and I know what the Blackbirds looked like last year, and I know what they looked like. I can tell you, and I have never seen any pictures that I mean they might have used some of their like Nicky Knack things a second or third time, but I've never seen like because like the Blackbird ladies, and I know Brenda Gervais too, had like these big antique like glass boxes, you know, that they had stuff in, and they had windows with stuff like antique windows with their pieces hanging on the windows last year. So I know what they looked like, and well, you know, bits of parts of it, what it looked like, and I'll be anxious to see if they use the same things over and over. Because you're right, I have been to trade shows too. And that is right. They make a booth, or here's your booth, go set this up somewhere and sell our, you know, push whatever we're pushing. And I did that for one of the hospitals that I worked with before I had kids. I went to several healthcare fairs all through Southern Indiana, and that's what they had was basically a kit. Here it is, that you go set it up. It had a table, it had a thing that held banner, you know, and you just went, had a backdrop, and you just went and set and pushed whatever we were pushing. So yeah, it's interesting. I would like to know that too. Do they bring the same thing over and over? But I think from my experience of looking at pictures that they change it according to what their designs are for that year. You know what I mean? Kind of what the theme of their designs are.
Yeah. Okay, what designers are at the top of your list, Arlene?
Sorry. I'm at a loss of words. The genuine, honest answer is sort of similar to Vanna's blank slate answer, that I don't really have a top of my list designer. I mean, I think I am more likely than not to either start at the bottom and go up or start at the top and go down. I mean, there's a couple of people that I'm anxious to see because I've met them before. I've had some interactions with them, and I'd love to give them an in-person hug. Yeah.
By top or bottom, you mean of the alphabetical list?
No, I was talking about the hotel. Like start at the fifth floor and go down, or start at the second floor and go up. Just logistically. Or whatever. I mean, alphabetically or however. I can't say that there's any – like, where are you going to go first, Arlene? I don't know. There's a sign. It's like, I'm going to go where it's least crowded first. Cause that's going to be my tempting. I mean, I get the sense that Friday night for me is going to be a not really having conversations with anybody time. It's going to be the slip in, slip out, do some observations, because the designers are going to be so busy in their interactions with the paying customers of the store owners. So I certainly want to respect that for, you know, their highest priority. So I can't say that there's, you know, anyone that is, you know, top of my list in any way. It's just really, I just want to see everything there is to see, you know, that's my blank slate in from that perspective.
Okay. Let's see, Vanna wants to see the Blackbird ladies for sure.
But I don't have to see them first. I just want to see them sometimes. I mean, I don't have any first and last, but I have designs that I feel have come out. But I do this every year. I choose my top ones. I think we had a show on that last year, right?
Right.
Where I said what I liked the best.
Yep.
I can tell you what, from what I have seen, and you know, I feel like this year there's not been as many sneak peeks as what there has been in previous years. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I just haven't been, I've been too busy to look. I don't know. But I can tell you that I feel like Queenstown Samplers has knocked it out of the park with, Barbara has knocked it out of the park with her offerings, in my opinion. Hannah Longstreth is just, you know, awesome. That's the number one that sticks out in my mind, is that Hannah Longstreth or Streth, however you say her last name, that one, that sampler, it just spoke to me. Now, I don't know if it's because I did the Quaker Sunday, Sampler Sunday, and spoke with Barbara about that, or or if I don't know, but that one is like has stuck in my mind from the time that she showed it on the Friday night Fiber Talk. Mm-hmm. I was just like, all of her offerings, I feel like are solid, lovely reproductions, that are on a level that any stitcher at any level can purchase, buy the stuff, that to stitch it and stitch it. You know what I mean? That's how I feel about that. As far as that's the number one thing that sticks out in my mind. And then the other thing that totally sticks out in my mind is Misty Purcell. Misty Purcell, I believe, you know, is a new designer, and I really like Misty as a person, first of all. But the other thing is her designs are all really they're seasonal and they're darling. And if you all need to look at the Farm Fresh Eggs one, that not only the design is really cute and it would be a lovely design out in your home all year long, but her finishing is impeccable on that. And that, you know, and I noticed that probably before I noticed the design is how somebody finishes. And she has finished that, you know, nicely. It is not overdone. It is my whole thing, you know, and I think everybody knows this, is less is more. And that is a perfect example in my mind where the finish enhances the stitching without overwhelming it. And all of her offerings are really nice. Like she has a little, my favorite bird is a robin. And she has the cutest little robin sitting on the handle of an Easter basket with a bunny, you know, kind of jumped up on the side. That is as darling as can be. Her color sense is very good too. So I really, as a newcomer, my choice would be Misty Purcell. Then you never see anything from the Blackbird ladies. And like I told Gary last year, you don't care what they get, you just go get it. You don't care what they're selling, you just go get it. Every bit of it. And so that is one thing that I will definitely, I hope that we can get in there and get that. Let's see. That's really about the top things that I can think. I feel like Barbara Hudson has, you know, I haven't really seen anything. Last year, I felt like I saw more, and this year I haven't seen any more. There's a Kathy Barrick's daughter, Liz Matthews, is going as a first-time designer, and I think that, you know, she has a palette, a way of her aesthetic is very similar to her mother's. I mean, that makes sense, of course. Mm-hmm. And I like, there's a couple of hers that's caught my eye. But I have not, I did, I felt like last year I had more like I could lather on and on about, and I don't feel like I have, but I don't feel like I've seen enough. Now, Krista Gramer, she has three offerings, and her one little offering, I finished the linen part of it. She has it on paper, perforated paper. Yeah. She has it shown two ways. One's perforated paper and one is on linen, and I finished the linen portion of it. And I don't know that she shared that yet, but that's going to be in her booth or room. Let's see. I really can't think of anything else. Oh, Cross Stitch Antiques. We have them too. And that was another one that I had really never, I know I've heard of them, but I don't think I really like ever paid much attention to them. And they have a couple of really cute little girl samplers, reproductions that I thought were darling. One was like, it's not Franklin, Tennessee, but it's like a capital or a state, a city. I don't know. Anyways, they had some really good ones too. But I'll tell you, the number one thing that stands out in my mind is Hannah Longstreet by Queenstown Samplers. And I will say this too. I want to go see Teresa Baird and her samplers, because I don't know that a picture does them justice, and I want to see them in person. Mm-hmm. And I want to see Ronnie Rowe and his offerings. See, mm-hmm. Here I am. I'm getting started on
for somebody
everything.
Who didn't have anything. You sure have a long list.
I mean, I'm just going to go. I'm going. I don't have any, like, projected, we're going to go here, we're going to go there. I'm just following you, sticking to you like glue, and I'll go where you go. But I just think that there's, and it's probably because, you know, I did some of those postings for Fiverr Talk on our on our Instagram page. And so it's probably that I got to really study him doing that. But I have not really seen, does anybody else feel like that, that there's not as many sneak peeks this year as last year? I feel like that personally.
I feel like last year I wasn't as in tune to paying attention to it. So it's hard for me to judge, you know. This year I've been paying more attention to sneak peeks and all of that. And so I don't really have the comparison to it because I just wasn't attentive enough last year.
Yeah. I've been attentive for years. But that's, you know, I've like the number one buyer at my local cross stitch shop. I know for several years. Mm-hmm. And, I feel like I have not seen, you never see Blackbird, never peaks, sneak mm-hmm. peaks ever. And, I feel like I have not seen a large portion of the people that I typically see. I don't feel like I've seen a lot of them. I really don't feel like I have. So we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm seeing more than what I think, but I do look, I do seek it out. And the one that sticks in my mind is Hannah Longstreet. Also, Blue Flower. Last year, she was like my Misty Purcell, if you remember, Gary. I said she's the number one. I love her, that quilting bee. Yep. And she has a really darling, for a second year person, her sampler with the bear in it. I think it's called the Huckleberry Sampler or Huckleberry Farm.
Huckleberry Farm, yeah.
Yeah, that one is really darling. And, you know, she has really proven that she's not a one-hit wonder, I feel like, with what her offerings are this year. So good for Janine on that one. And that's really about all I've seen I feel like stick out in my mind.
Yeah, I think she was a big hit last year. At least I felt she was, Blue Flower. And her stuff this year, you're exactly right. It was not just a lucky couple of designs. She's got something going on there. I'm anxious. I'm with you on Teresa Baird. Her samplers, I don't think they get the attention they deserve. And I'm really curious to see what she's been doing all year long, because I think she does an impressive job with those samplers, particularly the ones she's doing from the various states.
I don't know if y'all are, well, Arlene probably is. And now I've lost the name of it. That's my age. That Woodland, right?
Woodland. Yeah.
Okay. Teresa got first place and it was on one of her samplers. I think it was the Maryland sampler.
Oh, really?
I think. Yeah. Oh. And it was, I saw a preview. I always go every year and look at who won what. And I am pretty certain Teresa Baird won first place in her original sampler, senior division or something like that. There you go.
Well, she's talented. Yep. The other one that I'm anxious to see is Krista West of Avlia Mediterranean Folk Embroidery. Because we did a show with her, and I've been, you know, once I discovered her, I've been following her. That there's something about not only the designs, but the color combinations that really appeals to me, that, which I guess is a Mediterranean Greek look, the colors. And I'm anxious to see those firsthand because the pictures just grab me every time. There's something about those color schemes that really, really appeals to me. So
I'm anxious to get
to that one.
She has solid. Those, all of her designs though, are like solid stitching.
Yeah.
That's what I recognize on that. I look at hers and I think, oh gosh, that's going to take me, you know, probably 6 months to get through a fourth of that. But yes, I agree. They are, she has a real color sense. And it makes sense, you know, by what she does for a living too, you know, that she would have that kind of color sense.
Right. So. Right. Yeah. Yeah. No, so that one is 1A, I think, is to go see what see her stuff firsthand, because it's just, to me, the photos are just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. All right. Lots to look forward to. Subscribe somewhere to Fiber Talk so that you get notified. Live shows Friday night at 7 Eastern, 11 and 4 Eastern on Saturday, 11 a.m. on Sunday, and we'll just bring you everything we can is throughout the weekend so that you get a real sense of what went on. Thanks to Stitchy Box for sponsoring the show. And remember now, whether it's for the Fiber or for the Nashville market and the market Treats from Market or her Fiber on a Whim or ThreadWorks AVS Thread Club, go to the URL fibertalk.stitchybox.com, and you'll find all the details there. And then when we have Friday night shows, then throughout that weekend at that same URL, that same website address, fibertalk.stitchybox.com, you can find her specials. And the code for 10% off of the Treats from Market is Fibertalk Market. So be sure and put that to use at Stitchy Box. All right. Well, so I guess all three of us will see each other come Friday. It'll be fun.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Thanks for listening.